Hello, my friends. Good Tuesday afternoon to you all. It has been a stormy Tuesday in our Tyler, Texas. We are experiencing the typical spring, early summer thunderstorms, and today has certainly included some of those. They're working their way through, I believe. Thankfully, no tornado warnings, and that's a blessing. So I hope that things are safe where you are and peaceful, and you're realizing how God continues to provide the things that we need, such as rain and warmth and blessings. We're thankful especially for the spiritual blessings that come in Jesus Christ, and those include salvation through his blood and his sacrifice, the response of faith. The Holy Bible, our wonderful inspired Word of God that gives us that great message. The Holy Spirit that lives within us as Christians. And also, of course, that great blessing that is the church. And today, as we get to 1 Peter chapter 5, we're working through 1 Peter during these studies on Tuesdays and Thursdays. In 1 Peter chapter 5, the Apostle Peter is going to talk to elders of the church. And so I want us to take a look at that a little bit more closely, and we'll read that passage today and kind of summarize it a little bit. And then over the next few lessons, talk a little bit more specifically about those special leaders of the church that we refer to as elders or shepherds or overseers or bishops. But that's coming. That is definitely coming. But a couple of little fun things about leadership. Sometimes leadership can be a bit of a difficult situation. And so a couple of little funnies as we think about leadership in difficult times. One teacher said this: when you ask a student to do the next math problem and someone calls out, "I volunteer as tribute." Well, if you're not a Hunger Games fan, sorry about that, but I am, and that was a great moment in that first one when Katniss did that, and of course it shows up a little bit later as well, but I like that funny story, what teachers go through. And then this one, church leadership funny. There was a cartoon that I saw one time where you had some older leaders in the church talking to a younger minister or leader. And they said, "We need to reach a younger demographic. Use an illustration about that Lady Gugu person." Well, I'm bad, granted, but I don't think I'm that bad. So with apologies to Lady Gugu, we'll go on and get more into 1 Peter. And as we've been going through the book of 1 Peter, we've said over and over again that this is written to resident immigrants, disciples of Christ, Christians, and churches in the central, maybe north central areas of modern-day Turkey. Some of them were converted there. Some of them were Gentiles. Many of them were transplanted Jews who were now immigrants and exiles. He calls them exiles, and that could be because they were transplanted from their homeland. That's very likely due to persecution. In Acts chapter 8, that really begins in a almost worldwide way. But then also, they may be resident immigrants or exiles because they have changed their values. They were living according to worldly values, and now they are living according to the values of Jesus Christ, seen in his life and in his teaching and in the words written in the Bible from those who were inspired by God to do so. So that's typically who we're talking to. These are not people who are in leadership positions. These are typically people who have very little power and authority to live their lives, and so they are called upon to suffer sometimes and to not get everything they want and to be persecuted even for the faith. And we've read a lot about that throughout 1 Peter, but especially in the previous chapter in 1 Peter chapter 4. Now we get to 1 Peter chapter 5, And for almost the first time, Peter rather addresses those who are actually in positions of authority and leadership, and those he calls elders. So, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, as Peter begins to address those who would be servant leaders. And he says this, 1 Peter 5, verse 1, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." Well, that's pretty exciting stuff, I think. It's an incredible passage. And again, it is Peter addressing those who are leaders in the church. And he does that by using several different terms. And these are terms that all apply to elders in the church. And so we're going to look through this passage and look at those terms, and then over the next few lessons, maybe have a little bit deeper dive into the nuances of each of these terms and what they say to the leaders of the church today. Peter begins in 1 Peter 5, verse 1, by saying, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed." So Peter uses the term elder, and it's used throughout the New Testament to speak of this group of men, elders in the church. The term elder is from the term presbyteros, and yes, that does sound a lot like Presbyterian, and that's where we get that name of that religious group. But the elders are called presbyters. That would be a more literal translation of that. And this term, as it would indicate, points to maturity and respect. And Peter was one. And that is interesting. "To the elders among you," he writes, "I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings." He was a witness of Christ's suffering. He was one of the 12 apostles. He was one of the three closest to Jesus. Peter, James, and John were the three that were there on the Mountain of Transfiguration when Jesus was transfigured before them, along with Moses and Elijah. They went a little bit further into the garden. They were there when Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead by Jesus, one of the few occurrences where we read about Jesus actually raising someone from the dead. And not all the apostles were in that room, just the parents, Jesus, and Peter, James, and John. So when Peter says he is a witness of Christ's sufferings, that's very significant. And he'll really hit on that hard in 2 Peter that we'll look at down the line, especially in chapter 1, when he says, "Hey, we didn't make up these stories. This is scripture. This is what we saw. We were eyewitnesses." And so again, Peter says here, a witness of Christ's suffering. The word elder is used, as I said, throughout the New Testament, especially in the book of Acts, as early as Acts chapter 11. Luke references those who were elders of the church and were wanting to pass along financial help to others. And Paul, and recently converted, soon to be Paul the Apostle, was a part of that mission. We read in chapter 14 of the book of Acts, on the way back, they did an out and back, we might say, mission journey, Paul and Barnabas did. And on the way back, they appointed elders in every town. And so several cases, we'll look more specifically later, but we're going to look, when we do consider this coming up on Thursday, we'll turn to 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, because the term elder, again, points to maturity and respect. Excuse me. And in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 are passages that speak about the kind of character that an elder needs to possess. But let's keep reading. Verse 2. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Be shepherds of God's flock. And what happens there is that term shepherd, from the term poimen or poimeno, is used in this case as a vowel. It's a noun that's used, not a vowel as a verb. It's a noun that's used as a verb. And so he's saying shepherd the flock that is among you. And that term shepherd is similar to the term flock, God's people. And in that passage, it's the same it's the same relative word base, poimen, that idea of shepherding. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. And so they were to shepherd God's flock. We see it used that way in Acts chapter 20, verse 28 as well. Be shepherds, or shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Luke will record Paul saying that to the elders, shepherds of the church at Ephesus, while he was on one of his mission journeys. The term shepherd points to compassion and care. And we get that. When we look at this term a little bit down the line, we'll remember the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." And then it goes on to talk about what a blessing David felt to have the Lord as his shepherd. Being a shepherd himself of sheep, he understood the kind of care and compassion that a good shepherd would have. Well, sometimes, and we'll look at this more later, but sometimes we consider the preacher to be the shepherd, or another word for that is pastor. And yes, granted, ministers and other church leaders are called upon to do shepherding tasks at times, because we all are to care for each other. We're all to have compassion for each other. But there's only one group in Scripture in the New Testament that is specifically designated as shepherds, and that group are not the ministers, but the elders. The elders. In fact, when Paul writes to his young proteges, Timothy and Titus, in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1, he talks to them about what a good shepherd would look like, and calls on them and the churches where they are to appoint men to serve in that role as shepherds or elders. Again, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. Again, that idea of caring and compassion. Watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing. This is not something that they're forced into doing. And it's interesting that the terms that he uses here, be shepherds, that word shepherd of God's flock, again, related to sheep and shepherd, that is under your care, watching over them. We're introduced to another term now, the term overseer. And it is the term episkopuntis. I hate you trying to speak Greek in 21st century Texas. But it's similar to the word episcopal that we have, that's also transliterated to become the name of a particular Christian group. But the idea is watching over them. Again, a noun used in a verb form. This overseer or bishop was someone who, well, oversaw them, who watched over them. And so Peter says in verse 2 of 1 Peter 5, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, overseeing them. That's this term. And so we have the term elder, and we have the term shepherd or pastor, and now we have the term overseer or bishop. The term bishop is more of a transliteration from this term episkopos. It's very similar. And so you have this call to elders to be overseers, to be watching over the flock. That is their call. That is their ministry. Not because you must, but because you are willing. 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 speak to that as well. But Peter himself, an elder, remember in verse 1, he says, I appeal as a fellow elder. And so he calls on them to do this willingly, voluntarily, not being forced into it, and also not for dishonest gain. The New Testament speaks in other places about elders who are serving well and who are putting so much time into their ministry that it's right for the church to support them to some degree. And Scripture speaks about that. We typically think of ministers being supported by the church, and that's a good thing because it allows them more time to be able to focus on their work that the church has commissioned them to do, rather than trying to make a living. Paul even acknowledges that to the Thessalonians, as he says, you know, I worked for a while, but then when I was rejoined, when Timothy and Silas rejoined me, I went back to full-time ministry so that we could focus on the work at hand. And so he says, don't do it for dishonest gain. That can be abused, but rather be eager to serve. The idea of elders is that they are servants. They're servants. They're not doing this for dishonest gain. They're not doing this to get rich. They're not doing this to get power. They're not doing this because they're stroking their egos, but rather they are eager to serve. It is a service. Boy, I tell you, the elders that I know and have always known, they really are true servants. I mean, they serve and they work hard and they put in a lot of hours and they spend a lot of time in prayer and in overseeing the church, in meetings and in discussions and in prayer, but they also spend a lot of time shepherding the church, being there with the members, whether it's at the hospital or in their homes, visiting with them, or at church in Bible classes or in the lobby or whatever. They are eager to serve in whatever way. And these terms that Peter uses indicate that, not lording it over those entrusted to you, verse 3, but being examples to the flock. That's another term, an example. Elders are examples. They're models of what it looks like to serve the Lord, and in serving the Lord, to serve the church and the community. Elders are great examples. Again, those qualities that we're going to see on Thursday from 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, these are men who are good examples. In fact, they use the term above reproach. It doesn't mean that they're perfect, but it does mean that they are leaders among God's people, and they're looked to as examples of how to live a faithful life, not a sinless, perfect life, but how to live faithfully in the eyes of the Lord. They are examples to the flock. Again, that shepherd type term. And then verse 4 reminds his fellow elders of this. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. And that's a term that's related to the term shepherd that we've already discussed, but it's a term that puts it at a different level, the chief shepherd. And there's only one of those. And clearly, Peter is speaking about Jesus Christ. When he appears, when he returns, they will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So they're doing this to serve. They're not doing this to get rich. They're not doing this to get praise. They're not doing this to pump their egos. But they're doing this to serve the Lord and to serve his church, his flock. And when that chief shepherd appears, when the Lord returns, they will receive the crown of glory. And that's when they will receive their reward. It's right to appreciate elders and shepherds. It's right to appreciate ministers and Bible class teachers and ladies ministry leaders and all the others that serve, all of our deacons and other ministry leaders. It's right to appreciate them and to tell them so. But ultimately, those who lead in the church lead because we are seeking to serve Christ. And in serving Christ, we are seeking to serve his church. And so again, this passage, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder. On Thursday, we'll discuss that a little bit with Peter being a fellow elder. What does that mean that he was an elder? Well, surprisingly enough, one of the things it means is he was a married man. And this isn't the only scripture that points to that. And we'll talk about that on Thursday from the perspective of him acknowledging that he is an elder himself and a witness of Christ's sufferings. Be shepherds of God's flock, that word shepherd or pastor, in verse 2, along with the term elder. Watching over them, that term overseer or bishop. Being eager to serve, a servant, that Scripture places upon elders to be servants. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. They're not meant to say, this is what you're to do. They do it by leading, like a good shepherd leads his sheep. He doesn't force them from behind. He leads them, and they follow him. Jesus says in John 10, because they know his voice. Shepherds and are people that, men, that the church knows them because they have spent some time with them. Being examples to the flock. They've seen how their life works out. And recognizing that even elders, overseers, bishops, shepherds of the church have a chief shepherd. And that is who they ultimately submit to, as do we all. Again, 1 Peter 5, verse 4, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Well, I'm looking forward to spending some time with these words, and specifically with the call that God has given to elders or shepherds, not just in this passage. We'll use this passage as our stepping off point because we're going through 1 Peter. And 1 Peter addresses those who are elders, those who are shepherds, those who are pastors, those who are bishops, those who are overseers of the church. All of those terms are talking about the same group of men. And we read about that in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, and that's where we'll be on Thursday. I hope and pray that you have a wonderful day today and tomorrow, and I look forward to seeing you again on Thursday afternoon. God bless.